On a Monday, it is a State Capitol Report. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Governor Evers' Task Force on Student Debt. Remember that? It issued its final report over a year ago. And from that report, about 710,000 Wisconsinites owe more than $24 billion in federal student loans. And as students and families prepare to submit federal financial aid applications for the next school year, we are checking in with the State Department of Financial Institutions about the college debt burden. How do you want state lawmakers to address college affordability? Will you fill out a FAFSA, that complex federal form to qualify for financial aid? It's 800-642-1234. Cheryl Rapp is a college affordability specialist at the Department of Financial Institutions. Cheryl, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Thank you for having me.
Good morning. So Friday marks when college students can start applying for federal financial aid for the next school year by completing their FAFSA, the free application for federal student aid. Wisconsin is trying to improve application rates. How big is this challenge?
It's a tough challenge right now, especially due to the pandemic that's still ongoing, where students just aren't feeling the need to fill out the FAFSA, and it actually is really important to fill it out, regardless if they think that they're going to receive anything or if they don't know if they're going to go on to post-secondary education next year. Filling out the FAFSA is number one in learning to see if you're able and you qualify for some federal student loans, but it also helps with a possibility of being able to get grants or some scholarships or a work-study program for school to help pay for it.
Why aren't students feeling the urgency?
Because a lot of students aren't actually sure what they want to do and what their next steps are going to be. And a lot of that has to actually do with the pandemic and everything being kind of turned upside down. They aren't sure what kind of education they want to continue with. Is it going to be a four-year college? Is it going to be a two-year college? Possibly a technical college or apprenticeship? And so there's a lot of students right now that are taking a gap year versus actually continuing on with post-secondary education. So they aren't thinking the need to fill out the FAFSA is important, but actually it is, because the sooner you fill out the FAFSA, the better chance of getting some type of money for post-secondary education. Even if you take the first semester off of school, if you hadn't filled out your FAFSA at the beginning of the year, it's going to be a lot harder to try and get some federal funding or student loans along those lines.
Cheryl, you know, last year Congress approved changes to the FAFSA, which is notoriously complex for families to fill out. And there's this huge push, even at the federal level, to simplify it. What is the status of these changes coming down from the federal government to states?
Sure. A lot of the changes actually that were announced have been pushed off to the 2023-2024 year. So there's a whole nother year to start implementing the simplification of FAFSA. So there are some minor slight changes where you still have to check the box for services and stuff like that, but it doesn't actually count towards your FAFSA application. There's a few minor changes about grandparents and your EdVest account as well that are going to be implemented.
Your 529, yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
Your college savings program 529, but none of that actually takes effect for this year's FAFSA. Most of it's been pushed off for the next year, the 2023-2024 FAFSA filing year.
So it's still as long as ever.
It is. They, unfortunately, yes. But I do know that they're consolidating some of the questions and making it more streamlined. So hopefully next year it's going to be a lot easier to fill out.
If you're just joining us, we're talking about college affordability with Cheryl Rapp, a specialist on that issue at the State Department of Financial Institutions. You can join in. How do you want lawmakers to address college affordability in Wisconsin? What policy issues should be taken up around higher ed colleges? What changes would you like to see? Join in at 800-642-1234. Cheryl, you're part of a FAFSA completion task force. What efforts are underway to improve completion rates?
Yep, the FAFSA Completion Task Force was created by the Wisconsin Association of Student Financial Aid Administrators, known as WASFA. And I'm actually co-chair as well as our Wisconsin Higher Educational AIDS Board Executive Secretary, Connie Hutchinson. And so we have members kind of through the Wisconsin School Counselors Association, Technical College, Community College, UW Systems. And we all have one goal in mind, and that's to kind of to help address the low FAFSA completion rate. And one of our goals is kind of to offer assistance to families with FAFSA completion and ensure that they have all the information they need in order to complete the FAFSA, but also understand what happens after you complete it. We also kind of developed an opportunity and toolkit for high school counselors and school access personnel by creating a one-page kind of takeaway that they can have and talk to their students about the importance of filling out the FAFSA, as well as resources when they have questions on where to go, don't know what to do, and kind of reaching out the federal student aid office and let them know that there's an 800 number, and then there's the website 24/7 chat box people can get answers to about that.
Sounds like families shouldn't go it alone, that they should get help along the way in completing this form.
For the most part, families can do it alone as long as they know and they're prepared and they have their information ahead of time. The student has their federal student aid ID that they've applied for. The parents have kind of their tax information and stuff. And as long as you have that with you as you're filling it out, totally perfect and good, and you can get it filled out together. So it's nice to actually fill it out, student and parent, at the same time. But there's also it's also recommended, if you have questions, to go to your school counselor or to call the financial aid office at any college, and they'll help you through it. We actually, through College Goal Wisconsin, are offering some college financial aid nights and FAFSA nights this year as well. In October and November, there's going to be a total of 6 virtual events. So October 6th, October 13th, October 20th, 27th, November 3rd and November 10th are virtual events, all starting at 6 p.m. That will help parents and students walk through and actually fill out the FAFSA. There are also going to be this year in-person events throughout the whole state, starting October 4th. October 4th is our very first event at some places, and dates and locations for all that can actually be found on the College Goal Wisconsin website, which is collegegoalwi.org. And on that can be a whole list of, I believe there's 36 or 42 in-person sites.
And we have a link to that as well at wpr.org/mornings. I want to turn to 529s here. There has been a huge push for families to open these accounts, and it's, you know, kind of said that this is the way to save for college. What are the trends that you see in 529 accounts in Wisconsin?
Actually, 529 accounts are really good for us in Wisconsin. They're kind of like a 401k, so it's like a retirement, but the college savings plan is a vehicle designed to save specifically for higher education. And the accounts allow for state tax deduction in Wisconsin up to $3,380 per year per account for married individuals, or $1,640 for those filing individually. They also allow for tax-deferred growth on earnings on any federal tax-free qualified higher education expenses. So like tuition, room, board, books, and supplies. So a recent tax change actually expanded the use of the 529 to include K-12 tuitions, apprenticeships, and a one-time use to pay up to $10,000 towards student loan debt.
There is, you know, each state has its own rules around 529s. And in Wisconsin, there isn't tax parity that allows you to receive a state tax benefit, as you mentioned, you know, on contributions to any 529 plan in the country. So my 529 accounts that I contribute to in Louisiana do nothing to help on my taxes in Wisconsin. Minnesota, 6 other states have tax parity. Is there any movement to change this policy in Wisconsin?
I actually don't know the answer to that one for sure, but I do know that for Wisconsin, it's great to have a 529 because of the tax implications that you can get and tax-free information.
If you're just joining us, we're talking with Cheryl Rapp, a college affordability specialist at the State Department of Financial Institutions. Are you a Wisconsin graduate with student loan debt? Tell us about your experience. What advice would you offer families as they plan for college bills? Join in 800-642-1234. There's more State Cap in a moment with Cheryl Rapp on the Ideas Network. We're discussing college debt and what is being done about it in the Evers administration on the State Capitol Report. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. According to the UW's Student Success Through Applied Research Lab, small debts are a public policy problem. The median size of a defaulted student loan in our state is just about $9,000. And the researchers say that students who leave college with debt but no degree tend to have the hardest time repaying even relatively small student loans. Are you in this situation? No degree, yet struggling with loans. What policy change would help alleviate the debt burden? Join in 800-642-1234. Cheryl Rapp is a college affordability specialist at the State Department of Financial Institutions and stays with us. Cheryl, let's look at the debt burden. How is the pandemic affecting the amount of student debt that you're seeing Wisconsin families take on?
So the number has been going up. Due to changes in family situations and stuff like that, where there have been families that have lost their jobs, families that have changed jobs. And so there are more students that are actually pulling out student loans and taking more federal student loans that are available than they have in the past, just in order to have them continue going on to post-secondary education and finish their college degree wherever it is that they are.
And so do you see that just rising steadily in the pandemic? Was that going up before? How does that trend compare to pre-pandemic?
The trend actually has gone up mainly due to the pandemic right now. The trend before that actually was starting to improve and go down a little bit with the education that's out there and informing people about, here's what's being offered to you for your federal student loan, and here's why you don't need to take the full amount that's always being offered to you. Just kind of take what you need for that current year, for that current semester of education. Because next year you have to apply for the FAFSA again, because it's a yearly thing, and you'll be offered some more money as well. And so it's always good to pretty much compound interest to take what's just needed and not to take beyond that. And that actually has been helping to reduce the amount of student loan debt that's out there.
What factors should families consider when deciding how much to take out with student loans? Because sometimes students don't even realize that they have a loan years down the line. Their credit suddenly takes a hit, and they discover that there's a loan they didn't even realize they had from their schooling.
Yep, and that's the recommendation, is read everything before you sign it, because usually students, when they're applying to college and they're agreeing and signing their applications for the college and their acceptance for that college, they actually haven't read it and paid attention to say that they're actually signing to take out this federal loan that's part of the tuition package that they had agreed to. And so it's more paying attention and making sure what you're signing is your acceptance, but also knowing that you're accepting a possible federal loan that's part of that tuition package that's been offered.
Yeah, so making sure you definitely read the fine print and pay attention to the number of loans and then how you pay them back. Because here in the pandemic, too, there's been some reprieve on paying back those student loans. What is the status now?
Yep, the reprieve actually is going to be lifted as of January 31st this year. So pretty much February 1st of 2022. Be expected to start paying back your student loans. Repayment plans are going to come into effect again. Not everyone's going to have to pay it on February 1st. Some of them, depending on your dates, are going to be in the middle of the month. But the reprieve actually goes away the end of January of 2022. There is help, though. We did create, during the pandemic, a Wisconsin Student Loan Help hotline, which is for all Wisconsin student loan borrowers. And that number is 833-589-0750. And it's to help borrowers actually just answer questions or ask questions and figure out what's the best repayment plan and how can I be prepared for repaying my student loans.
What kind of questions can the hotline answer, and what have you fielded?
So the hotline is actually in a partnership that's run through Ascendium Education Solutions. So it's the servicers there can actually help answer whatever questions. And it can be anything related to when do I actually need to start paying back my student loan, which everybody is now being informed and told that as of February 1st, the repayments are going to start taking place again. They can help the student walk through the best repayment plan for them, be it an income-based repayment plan or something else along those lines. Most of students are probably in the standard repayment plan, and so they can walk them through maybe adjusting what type of a federal loan that they have and how the best repayment plan will be suited for them.
If you're just joining us, we're talking about college affordability with Cheryl Rapp, who is a specialist on that issue at the State Department of Financial Institutions. You can join in. Are you a Wisconsin grad with student loan debt, carrying debt? Tell us about your experience, especially in the pandemic. What advice can you offer families as they plan for college bills? Join in at 800-642-1234. Cheryl, some schools went virtual, of course, last school year. What happened in that situation with dual enrollment programs that aim to reduce college costs by helping students earn free college credits?
So some of, depending on the school district and area you were at, some of the dual enrollment was kind of put on hold due to the hybrid or just the strictly online option for students, because it's a lot harder for teachers to teach the regular class plus the dual enrollment class, because there's certificates and certain teachers are able and qualified to do the dual enrollment. So some of that was put on hold depending on what district and what area in the state of Wisconsin you were in. Some of it actually thrived because students were able to do the online that was focused on dual enrollment for them or AP classes in order to get credit for their post-secondary education to help them already gain credits and gain information when they attend their freshman year of college.
Is there any sense when dual enrollment programs will be back on track and being offered around Wisconsin?
It currently is for this school year.
Okay.
They should be back on track. Students should be able to, classes have started already, be part of the dual enrollment for continuing on with high school plus earning credit for their post-secondary education.
In the state budget approved this summer, lawmakers ended their freeze on the UW system tuition so the Board of Regents could decide to raise rates in the future. How much does raising tuition by even modest amounts, how does that affect access to higher education?
I don't think it affects access to higher education as much as people would think, because normally they just see, okay, cost of everything's going up, but in reality, the cost of everything in general is going up, inflation and stuff like that. So the increase in tuition isn't a big burden or a huge burden to the students, because it kind of goes hand in hand with when they get their offer letter and they can figure out, here's the amount of money that's being offered through federal loans. Here's maybe the scholarships and grants that they've applied for. That kind of gap between the two isn't as big. Nothing really has changed.
I want to circle back to FAFSAs. I understand Governor Evers is planning to issue a proclamation calling October the state's FAFSA filing month. How else could state leaders play a role in improving completion rates?
Well, they can try and help out just explaining and marketing and continue to talk about FAFSA and why completing the FAFSA is actually important, because everyone who files a FAFSA is eligible for something. So if, filling it out is the only way a college can access all forms of federal aid, from Pell Grants to direct federal loans, and then taking the time to file a FAFSA is a must, where some federal loans are based on information you submit according to your FAFSA. So you could actually get your schooling paid for 100% depending on your financial situation and stuff. It's also access to income-driven repayment plans and other information. Grants and scholarships offered by specific colleges and universities are all determined by filling out your FAFSA. Plus, there are certain scholarships that you're allowed to apply for only if you do fill out the FAFSA. So it's kind of a way to make sure you're able to find any quote unquote free money that's out there and available for you. And yeah, Number one step is to fill it out.
We only have a few seconds left, but I'm wondering, you know, as you look at college, the debt burden and college affordability in Wisconsin, what is to you the number one barrier?
I don't think the number one, well, I guess it's lack of education, a lack of information about it. And it's also kind of making sure you start saving for post-secondary education. You know, the earlier you begin to save for college, the better. But it's actually never too late to start saving either.
Cheryl, thank you for joining us.
Thank you.
Cheryl Rapp is a college affordability specialist at the State Department of Financial Institutions. Coming up, the State Capitol Report continues with Democratic State Senator Tim Carpenter. Do you think there needs to be changes made to state law on wolf hunting? What questions do you have about how lawmakers confirm the heads of state agencies? 800-642-1234 to join in. There's more State Cap after a news update on the Ideas Network.